Folks, once again, it's time for the Jason Kurtman Show. It's 6 o'clock right here on North Florida Avenue here in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Bob came in a while ago, and you wouldn't believe what he showed me. We opened up the window. We saw a glimpse of the sun shining through. Bob's in the studio now. Right, we've got to have 360 consecutive days of sunshine. We thought we were going to miss out on it today, but lo and behold, the good Lord came through for us. For 3.5 minutes, it's gone now, but we had it. We had it. That's right. We had snow, had a little bit of sleet coming down. And we looked at the Cloudcroft webcam here a little bit ago, and it looked like a wintry Christmas Eve up there. It is all good moisture. Yes, it is. All right. I will have a good show. Thank you, Bob. $1.4 million listeners tonight. That's right. Well, I'm going to give away something tonight. So, yeah, we're going to give away a matching poncho and blanket that we had on our first show. You know, it wasn't too well promoted as much as we'd like, but people are listening now. And they call in later on, we'll give away that poncho and that blanket. Have a good night, Bob. Enjoy the show. Folks, we do have a great show lined up. I've got some great comedy, great music. And I guess you've noticed that I haven't mentioned my little buddy, my little buddy, he's not so little, Adam Arnold. I talked to him a little bit before the show, and some things came up, and he's spending some time with his family tonight. So we're going to miss Adam. We are definitely going to miss Adam. He contributes a lot to the show, and I certainly appreciate it when he's here, but he's not here tonight. But that's all right, because I've got a great show lined up. I've got some good comedy, some good music. We're going to find out tonight what happens when a nagging mother calls her bachelor son, who happens to be a rocket scientist. So that'll be interesting. Maybe some music by Junior Brown, some comedy by Andy Griffith, Jerry Clower. Got a story from yours truly called Disobedience and the Not-So-Frozen Creek. Various music artists. We'll talk about different things going on. Right now, I want to tell you, this is very important, very, very important. Do not forget to move your clocks forward tonight. The daylight savings time, I believe, that ends tonight. We're going to move our clocks forward. So KUPR and KHII Radio would like to remind you that if you do go to bed at about 10, move your clocks forward to 11, or if you go to bed at 9, move them to 10. It's always a good idea to do that before you go to bed. That way you don't have to worry about getting up at 2 a.m. to move them ahead another hour, and then you don't have a restful night for two reasons. So it's always easier. I don't know anybody that would get up at 2 a.m. to set their clocks forward when they do it before they go to bed. If you're like me, you usually forget and then do it the next morning when it's too late and conflicts with your schedule. And I've got to remember, I got to be at work in the morning. I work just two short hours tomorrow morning. But if I don't set that clock forward, something might happen, and it'll throw me off for the whole day. So don't forget to move your clocks forward. Also, on the website on www.kuprradio.com and www.khiiradio.com, March 7th, the Rotary Centennial Program was recorded. This was done in the style of old-time radio, and I've listened to it, and it's absolutely fantastic. Those men and women did an excellent job. If you'd like to hear some history done in the style of old-time radio, check out on our website. Go to the Rotary Centennial page. It's a great program. Absolutely fantastic. So you'll not want to miss that. Also, if you'd like that matching blanket and poncho, give me a call tonight, 575-437-0917. And I'll get you some information on how to get that matching blanket and poncho. The first one to calls me will get that. Right now, you know, we were talking about that weather. I remember hearing this song that I'm getting ready to play for you on my dad's old reel-to-reel tape deck that he picked up. I believe he picked that up somewhere when he was in Japan during the service. I really don't know where he got that thing, but boy, that thing was a high-quality deck. And right before I graduated high school, my dad let me put that in my room, and I went through some boxes of records, and I found mostly gospel music. But there was a few old Elvis Presley reel-to-reels in there, and this is the first time I ever heard this song, and the weather outside is making me want to play it. Here's Elvis Presley with Spring Fever.
Love is in the air. Spring is everywhere.
A little bird, he told me so. He said, come on, get on the go. Open your eyes, the sky is full of butterflies. The blossoms on the trees stirred up the honeybee. Spring makes my fever rise.
Spring fever. Spring fever.
Spring is here at last.
Spring fever.
My heart's beating fast.
There is no doubt now, love is in the air.
Get up, spring is everywhere. Well, if you feel the wanderlust, just grab a car, a hop a bus. In every town, there's excitement to be found. So much is happening, don't miss the joy of spring. The world's in love, just look around.
Spring fever
comes to everyone.
Spring fever,
it's time for fun.
There is no doubt now, love is in the air.
Get up, spring is everywhere.
Spring fever,
it's spring fever time.
Spring fever,
watch that fever climb.
There is no doubt now, love is in the air.
Everywhere.
Well, I think somebody called me about that poncho, but we were disconnected before I was able to get to the phone. So if you want that poncho, give me a call back, 575-437-0917. What a day it's been, huh? Some crazy weather out there. I'm looking forward to some of that spring fever. I'm going to play a story now called Disobedience in the Not-So-Frozen Creek while I take this call, and I'll be right back with you.
It was the dead of winter, and my sister Jill and I were going to walk to the back of the church property and visit my friend Leonard at the edge of the creek bank. The creek was frozen solid, and Leonard and his little brother were going to shoe skate from his house to the golf course on the frozen creek. He was going to be making a stop near where the old bridge used to cross Swartz Creek to visit with us. The bridge was no longer there, just the old concrete sides on both banks. Jill and I bundled up pretty good. We had those old snowsuits that made us look like pygmy astronauts, and those moon boots. They were monstrous in size, but couldn't be beat for warmth. Before we headed out the door, Mom told us not to walk on the frozen creek. "Oh, Mom, it's as solid as a rock. Leonard and his brother are on it. It must be safe," we pleaded. "I don't care," Mom ordered. "You had better obey me." We agreed and headed out across the field, past the big oak tree, up a little hill to the old bridge area. It was just a few minutes later when Leonard and his younger brother appeared sliding down the creek. They walked up the bank, and we talked for a while. He then said that they were going to go onto the golf course, and we should join them. "Are you sure the ice is solid everywhere?" I asked Leonard. "Sure, watch," he replied, as he began to jump up and down on the ice as hard and as fast as he could. Why not? I thought. That creek ice is even thicker than I had originally thought. I convinced my sister to go along with us and not to say anything to our mom upon our return home. I thought to myself that we wouldn't be gone that long. No one would know. No harm would come of it. So down the bank and onto the frozen ice we went. My sister was enjoying the trip. Sliding down the creek, she acquired some speed and actually put some distance between her and myself. Usually she could run much faster than me anyway. It took us less than 30 minutes to reach the edge of the golf course. At the edge of the golf course was a railroad bridge across the creek. It was constructed of huge wooden timbers and large iron bolts. Below it was the cold, frozen creek, or so we thought. We didn't realize that often freezing cold wind could not reach the creek water below these larger bridges. This meant that the ice under the bridge was not very thick at all. As a matter of fact, that day, the ice was not much thicker than a slender pancake. I watched as just about 100 feet in front of me, I saw my sister drop through the ice. Fortunately, the water was just a little over knee-deep. I knew right then and there that I was in trouble. Forget that my sister had just fallen in the ice-cold temperatures of the murky Swartz Creek and could potentially suffer the effects of frostbite. I was about to be introduced to my dad's reversible leather belt. I began to yell at Jill. "It's okay! You're going to be fine! I'll give you my coat!
Don't go home!
But it was too late. She pulled herself out of that icy water hole, ran to the bank, and hightailed it across various pieces of private property towards our back deck. I followed a small trail of wet ground for a little while. It took me about twice as long to get home as the half hour it took us to get to the bridge. I was not in the hurry my sister was. I know I was punished when I got home, but I don't really recall that part of the story. I guess my selective memory has kicked in over the years. Besides, when you're that young and you've had one spanking, you've had them all. After a few tears and more than a few screams, Jill was fine. But I never again went on that creek when it was frozen. Mom knows best after all.
True story, it actually happened. Me and my sister used to get in a lot of trouble together. So did my brothers and I. My sister Jill, she's a great gal. She's living there in southwest Missouri, around the Branson area, I believe now. Her husband's a pastor. And they've got a handful of kids, beautiful kids, great kids. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun, but we'd get a lot of trouble, especially come around wintertime on that creek and a few other times, too. Anyway, I would like to announce Miss Deanna Thornton, I believe it's Deanna Thornton. She called in. She's going to come by the station or her daughter sometime, and she's got that matching poncho and blanket. So congratulations to Miss Thornton for receiving that. Consolation prize goes to Miss Dawn. We were disconnected. I know Dawn. I'd have had to mail that thing off to get that thing to Dawn. So I'm just going to have to send her maybe an e-card through the mail or something. I don't know. We'll find out. Got a lot of good stuff tonight. Good show. We do miss we miss Adam. He's not here tonight. I got a call before the show started, a little while before the show started, and he's with his brother. And I'm not sure the particular details, but I know his brother's going away for a while, so they're spending some time together. I believe they're over in Las Cruces tonight, and he wasn't going to get back in time. So we miss Adam. He adds a lot to this show. And we're going to have a good show nonetheless. Here is the Statesman Quartet with Bright in the Corner, Where You Are. And when we come back from that, I've got a very special treat for you.
Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now be true. The moon and bright in the corner where you are. Bright in the corner. Shine for Jesus where you are. Bright in the corner where you are. Someone far from the harbor you may guide across the bar. The moon and bright in the corner where you are. Just above the clouded skies that you may help to clear. Let not narrow shelf your way debar. Though into one heart alone made for your song of cheer. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner, shine for Jesus where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from the harbor you may guide across the bar. Come on and brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner, Jesus, where you are. Brighten the corner.
Okay, for my friends, thanks. Rob Shapin just called in and want to say hi to Rob. Hope you're doing well tonight, healthy. And I guess Rob and I will be singing tomorrow morning. We're going to be singing in a trio. We'll be singing He Touched Me, Rob and I and Mr. Les Street. So that'll be fun. We'll be singing at our church, and we've never sung together, the three of us. So that'll be interesting. So here's something interesting. Try to picture, you know, we've all have our mothers, and we all love our mothers, and I'm sure some people might even feel that you've been nagged by your mother at time. I've personally never, ever felt that way, and I say that with no sarcasm at all. Anything I got from my mother, I purely 100% deserved. But some people, I've heard their mothers talk to them, and some women can be a little bit abrasive when it... I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know what the word is. How would you describe this conversation if you had it with your mother?
Hello.
Hello, Arthur. This is your mother. Do you remember me?
Mom, I was just going to call you. Is that a funny thing? You know that I had my hand on the phone.
You were supposed to call me last Friday.
Mother, honey, I know. I just didn't have a second, and I could cut my throat.
I sat by that phone all day Friday.
Honey, I was working.
Day Friday night.
Darling, I was in the lab.
And all day Saturday.
Mom.
And your father finally said to me, Phyllis, eat something. You'll faint. I said, no, Harry, no. I don't want my mouth to be full when my son calls it.
Mom.
And you never called.
Mother, I was sending up a rocket. I didn't have a second.
Well, it's always something, isn't it?
All right, honey, look, please.
You know, Arthur, no, I'm sure that all the other scientists there have mothers. And I'm sure that they all find time after their breakfast or before their count off
down
to pick up a phone and call their mother.
Honey, listen, now you have me on the phone.
And you know how I worry.
Well, that's the point.
I read in the paper that you're still losing them.
Mother. Mother, I don't lose them.
I nearly went out of my mind.
Honey, listen, I want
I thought, what if they're taking it out of his pay?
All right. That's it, Mom.
Wait,
just
so
please,
hot.
Honey,
I
tell
will
me
send
how you,
you
are.
A postage
Mother,
stamp
tell me
so
how
hot.
You are. How are you?
I'm sick.
I'm sorry to hear it. What's wrong?
Nothing. Well, you know what it is, Arthur.
Yeah.
It's the same thing it's always been.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's my nerves.
Yeah.
And, I went to the doctor.
Of course, yeah.
And he told me.
Yeah.
He said, listen, Mrs. White, you are a very nervous, very high-strung woman.
Yeah, well, God knows that's true.
And you cannot stand the slightest aggravation.
Well, no. Well, that's fine.
So I said, doctor, I know that.
Yeah,
I know. And you know, I do. I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I said, but you see, doctor, I have this son. And he's very busy. And it's the truth. He is. He's busy. I said, you see, doctor, he's too busy to pick up a phone and call his mother.
Mom, honey,
Arthur,
I want you to tell me...
when I said that to him, that man turned pale.
Right. Mother...
He said, Mrs. White, I have been a doctor for 35 years.
Darling...
And I've never heard of a son too busy to call his mother.
I know, Mom,
that's just what he said to me, Arthur.
I know.
And that man is a doctor.
Mother... Please, tell me, what did the doctor say they're going to do with you?
Well, I may be in the hospital for a while, so...
The hospital?
Yes.
But what are they going to do?
Well, they'll x-ray my nerves.
Mother, why don't you let me know? All you have to
darling,
do is drop me a card.
I don't want to aggravate you. Don't aggravate
you
yourself. Never mind about
myself.
Me, darling. Please, listen, about you. How is your hangnail?
Mother, listen to me, please, please, just don't worry.
Arthur, what does that mean? Honey, what does that mean, don't worry?
Well, nothing, actually. I don't know. I said the first thing that came into my head.
Listen to me, Arthur. I'm a mother.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I...
Listen, what's the use of talking, you know? You're very young. Someday, honey, you'll get married.
Mom.
And you'll have children of your own.
Mom, please.
And honey, when you do, I only pray that they make you suffer the way you're making me. That's all I pray, Arthur. That's a mother's prayer.
Okay, Mom, thanks for calling.
You're very sarcastic.
Mother, I am doing my best here. Now, you call. I tried to explain to you that I was busy. You will not listen.
All right, don't hit me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I bothered you when you were so busy. Believe me, I won't be around to bother you much longer. And listen, I hope I didn't make you feel bad.
Are you kidding? I feel awful.
Oh, honey, if I could believe that, I'd be the happiest mother in the world.
Well, Mother, what do you think? I feel rotten.
Oh, then, Arthur, honey, why don't you call me? Honey, you know, I know that I nag you.
You got a nagging mother. What are you going to do?
I'm kidding. Well, honey, you know, you're my baby. And listen, you're the only baby I've got.
And I'll tell you something, when you get to be 100 years old, you're still going to be my baby, you know?
And when you don't call me, honey, I can't help it. I worry. And is that so hard to just pick up a phone and call your mommy? Is it? Oh, please, baby. Please.
Yeah, well, I will, I promise.
Oh, honey, if you do, you make your mommy so happy.
Well, if my mommy's happy, then I'm happy.
Oh, thank you, baby.
And mommy wants to wish you lots of luck with your rocket.
Thank you, mommy.
And you remember that mommy loves you.
I love you too, mommy.
Goodbye, baby.
Goodbye, mommy. Nanny, nanny, nanny.
That's the classic Nichols and May comedy teen from decades ago. Here's a song by Junior Brown, kind of a unique novelty song. It's called My Wife, You're Wanted by the Police, and My Wife Thinks You're Dead. Comes.
It's good to see you, baby. It's been a long, long while. We're both a whole lot older and seen a lot of miles. But things are really different now since the good old days. And you've been in some trouble since we went our separate ways. We'll have to say hello maybe some other time instead. Cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. Somebody spread the rumor that you had lost your life. At least that's the way I heard it and what I told my wife. Now here you're showing up again and talk is getting round. I can see that one of us will have to leave this town. If you think that I want trouble, then you're crazy in your head. Cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. And disappeared. Nobody knew what happened. Where you've been for all these years. Now trouble's what you're looking like. Cause trouble's where you've been. And I can see the kind of trouble you could get me in. You better pay attention to every word I said. Cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. To talk, but I'm faithful to my wife and I don't never break the law. I don't know where you're headed for, but I know where you've been. We reminisce, now let's just go our separate ways again. Go find find another ex-sweetheart to hang around instead. Call you on it by the police, and my wife thinks you're dead. I said you on it by the police, and my wife thinks you're dead.
Now there's a good, honest man for you. Certainly is. Yes, indeed. Junior Brown, what a singer, what an entertainer. Here's an old song from Mr. Ink Spots. That's actually what they called him, Mr. Bill Kenny. This song is an old one, later recorded by Elvis. I Believe in the Man in the Sky. Bill Kenny.
Steps that lead to any church form a stairway to a star. They're part of God and should be trod more often than they are. I believe in the man in the sky. I his help, I'll get by. My footsteps may falter, my eyes may grow dim, but he's my Gibraltar. I'm trusting in him. Though a sparrow is all I may be. On me he will still keep an eye. Yes, I'm singing his praise till the end of my days. For I believe in the man in the sky.
Though a sparrow is all I may be.
Sparrow am I.
On me he will still keep an eye.
Yes, I'm singing his praise till the end of my days. For
that was Mr. Ink Spots himself, Bill Kenny. Now, for some of the some more great comedy, here's Andy Griffith's take on what it was football from 59 years ago.
It was back last October, I believe it was. We was going to hold a tent service all off at this college town, and we got there about dinner time on Saturday. And different ones of us thought that we ought to get us a mouthful to eat before that we set up the tent. And so we got off of the truck and followed this little bunch of people through this small little bitty patch of woods there. And we come up on a big sign. It says, "Get something to eat here." And I went up and got me two hot dogs and a big orange drink. And before that I could take every mouthful of that food, this whole raft of people come up around me and got me to where I couldn't eat nothing, up like, and I dropped my big orange drink. I did. Well, friends, they commenced to move, and they want so much that I could do but move with them. Well, we commenced to go through all kinds of doors and gates and I don't know what all, and I looked up over one of them, and it says North Gate. And we kept on going through there, and pretty soon we come up on a young boy. And he says, "Ticket, please." And I says, "Friend, I don't have a ticket. I don't even know where it is that I'm going." I did. Well, he says, "Come out as quick as you can." And I says, I'll do her. I'll turn right around the first chance I get. Well, we kept on a-moving through there, and pretty soon everybody got where it was that they was a-going, because they parted, and I could see pretty good. I could. And what I seen was this whole raft of people a-setting on these two banks and a-looking at one another across this pretty little green cow pasture. Well, they was. And somebody had tuck and drawed white lines all over it and drove posties in it and I don't know what all. And I looked down there and I seen five or six convicts a-running up and down and a-blowing whistles. They was. And then I looked down there and I seen these pretty girls a-wearing these little bitty short dresses and a-dancing around. And so I sat down and thought I'd see what it was that was going to happen. I did. And about the time I got set down good, I looked down there and I seen 30 or 40 men come running out of one end of a great big outhouse down there. They did. And everybody where I was a-setting got up and hollered. And about that time, 30 or 40 come running out of the other end of that outhouse and the other bank full, they got up and hollered. And I asked this fellow that was besetting beside of me, I says, friend, what is it that they're a-hollering for? Well, he whopped me on the back and he says, buddy, have a drink. Well, I says, I believe I will have another big orange. And I got it and sat back down. And when I got down there again, I seen that them men had got in two little bitty bunches down there. They had rail close together. And they voted. They did. They voted and elected one man apiece. And them two men come out in the middle of that cow pasture and shook hands like they hadn't seen one another in a long time. And then a convict come over to where they was a-standing, and he took out a quarter, and they commenced to odd man right there. They did. Well, after a while, I seen what it was that there's odd manning for. It was that both bunches full of them men wanted this funny-looking little pumpkin to play with. They did, and I know, friends, that they couldn't eat it because they kicked it the whole evening and it never busted. But anyhow, what I was a-telling was that both bunches full wanted that thing. And one bunch got it, and it made the other bunch just as mad as they could be. And, friends, I seen that evening the awfulest fight that I have ever seen in my life. I did. They would run at one another and kick one another and throw one another down and stomp on one another and grind their feet in one another and I don't know what all. And just as fast as one of them would get hurt, they'd tote him off and run another number. Well, they'd done that as long as I sat there. But pretty soon, this boy that had said, ticket, please, he come up to me and he says, friends, you're going to have to leave because it is that you don't have a ticket. And I says, well, all right. And I got up and left. And I don't know, friends, to this day what it was that there's a-doing down there, but I have studied about it. And I think that it's some kindly of a contest where they see which bunchful of them men can take that pumpkin and run from one end of that cow pasture to the other without either getting knocked down or stepping in something.
That is the great Andy Griffith. Here's Pastor Cleophas Robinson with an old tune. Make sure you catch the last line of this. I wonder how he really feels about this. This is called Let the Church Roll On.
Let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. Church roll on. Let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. Roll right on. Let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. If the member in the church and she won't act right,
deacon in the church, and he won't act right. What you gonna do? Move him, and let the church roll on. 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 If the pianist in the church,
I would like to remind you once again that you are listening to the Jason Kirkman Show live on 91.7 KUPR Alamogordo and 88.9 KHII Cloudcroft. So good to be with you this evening. We're having some fun here, playing some old fun songs, some comedy routines and whatnot. We do miss your friend and mine, Adam Arnold. He's spending some time with his family tonight, and we do indeed miss him. I hope he's having a good time with his brother. I would like also to remind you again that tonight you really need to set your clock forward, not backward, forward. You need to move it forward because tonight is the time change, and we don't want you to mess that up. Boy, I know how those time changes, they really mess me up sometimes. You know, I remember one time showing up at church and nobody was there, and another time showing up and everybody was there and they were almost done with the service, and I wouldn't want that to happen to you. So make sure before you go to bed, if you go to bed at 9, move your clocks forward to 10 o'clock. Tonight is the time change, and I've got to do that as soon as I get home because I have to work just 2 short hours in the morning, and I don't want to miss out on one of those hours. Also thanks again to Miss Thornton for calling in. She won the poncho and the blanket, the matching set. And we'll have those here in the studio with her name on it. She can pick that up anytime that she'd like. Also, I'd like to tell you that at the website, www.kuprradio.com or khiiradio.com, you can listen to history done in the style of old-time radio. The Rotary Centennial Program is on the website, and you can listen to that. It's a real crisp, clear copy of it. And the gentleman that recorded that did an excellent job. And we've got that on the website, and it's very, very interesting. I've listened to it twice myself, and I have extremely, extremely enjoyed it. We're going to continue with some fun music, fun stories, and who knows, as Andy Griffith says, and who knows what all. We'll get with it right now. Here's Ray Stevens talking about Sitting Up with the Dead.
Well, out in the country, we didn't have mortuaries, and so it was always customary for the undertaker to do his job and lay your kin out right there at home. Yeah, and the church would loan you folding chairs, and you'd have visitation and everything right there. But when the nighttime come, you'd have to sit up with the dead, 'cause it wasn't right to leave them alone. Well, the last time I set up was 65, when my old arthritic Uncle Fred died. He was 97, so stooped over, the mortician couldn't straighten him out. They used a log and chain to hold him down, covered that all up with a cape and a gown, and didn't tell nobody in the family, 'cause that's the kind of stuff folks just don't want to know about. Well, we were all sitting there, it was 3 in the morning, and then there come up a cloud of thunder, lightning, and storming. Well, that lightning flashed, and that thunder clapped, and that chain round old Uncle Fred went snap, rattled and fell to the floor with a thump, and Uncle Fred just sat right up. And I ain't sitting up with the dead no more, I don't know about you. No, I ain't sitting up with the dead no more, no matter what you say or do. They say the dead can't hurt you, 'cause they already left, but what they left can sure make you hurt yourself. And I ain't sitting up with the dead no more since the dead started sitting up too. Lord have mercy. Woo. sat up, so did everyone there. And there came a great parting of the folding chairs, and that preacher nearly knocked me down. He said, "Oh, I'm heading out that kitchen door." I hollered, "Rev, that kitchen ain't got no door in it." He said, "Don't worry, son, it will have in a minute." And I ain't never seen so much jumping and shoving before. And then somebody stepped on an old cat's tail. He let out a scream, a screech, a wail, and to say the least, that howl didn't help to calm the situation down. And then that lightning flashed, and that house went black, and I spoke to my feet. I said, "Boys, make tracks." And I went through that screen door, licking his split for town. Well, I cut through the cemetery, fell in a hole. It was Uncle Fred's grave, and it was dark and cold. Yeah, the town drunk dug it, and he dug it too deep. And unbeknownst to me, he's still in there asleep. And I'm scratching and jumping, trying to get out of that hole. And he woke up and said, "You might as well come over here and sit down beside me, boy, because you ain't getting out of here tonight."
But I did. That love of the dead no more. I don't know about you. No, I ain't said love of the dead no more. No matter what you say or do. They say the dead can't hurt you, cause they already left. But what they left can sure make you hurt yourself. And I ain't said love of the dead no more since the dead started setting up too. Wasn't no sense in nobody setting up with Uncle Fred anyhow. Uncle Fred done been gonna set up with his own self. Next time, I'm just going to send flowers. Yeah.
I am so excited. Here in just about 2 weeks or less, my dad is driving out here from the St. Louis region there in Missouri, and I am so looking forward to spending some time with him. I'm going to take him all over southern New Mexico and show him all the sites that I've seen so far and some that I haven't seen as of yet. A lot of good places here in New Mexico to go and take your family and spend a day, and I am so looking forward to taking my mom and my dad and driving around the basin and the mountains. So many things to do, so many things to see, and I'm sure looking forward to it. I know a couple of things that I'm definitely going to take. I'm going to take him to White Sands, go by there. I'm also going to take him up to Lincoln and show him the old courthouse. We may take a drive out toward Hatch and some other areas and do a little shopping here in Alamogordo. A lot of things we're going to do, and I'm going to be busy that week. I took most of that week off, so I'm really, really looking forward to it. Hope you enjoy this clip. This is Jerry Clower talking about rat killing time.
The next morning, it was a Monday morning, and my mama told me to get on the school bus and tell all of my friends on there that we was going to have a rat killing Saturday. I got on the school bus and I said, "We're going to have a rat killing Saturday." Them folks come from all over the county with the dogs and the sticks to help us kill them rats. One day we worked our way to the far corner, and there's just a whole bunch of them rats flushed out of that corn crib at the same time. It was so many of them that broke through the ranks and run and got under a big concrete slab. And we couldn't get them out from under that. We dug, we drawed up water and poured down them holes, tried to drown them. And directly Uncle Versy Ledbetter, my closest neighbor, and he was the head rat killer in our community. He said, "Boys, I tell you what we got to do. I am told if we can get that A-model car cranked yonder and back it up to that concrete slab and put that inner tube around the exhaust pipe and run the other end of that inner tube down under that concrete slab and get that old truck cranked and go to racing that motor, I am told it hit manufacture something up in that engine that when you guff it down through that exhaust pipe, it'll make them come out from under that." Uncle Versy got her cranked and reeled that motor up. Wobbum, wobbum. Now, folks, y'all ain't never had no fun unless you have stood with a stick waiting for them carbon monoxide sick rats to come out from under that slab. Now, that is some fun. One day while we were having a rat killing, me and my brother Sonny was up in the corn crib a-moving the corn and killing them rats as we got to them. Directly, my brother's son had caught a big one in the throat. It was the most hugest rat I have ever seen in all my life. His tail hung way down. It was such a fine rat that my brother's son had wanted to show it to Mama. He jumped out of the corn crib and commenced to running toward the house, hollering, "Mama, Mama, look a here, what a rat!" Now, my brother Sonny didn't know that Reverend Brock, the Baptist preacher, was in the house a-visiting with Mama. But Sonny run on in the back door and run in the living room. Mama was sitting over in one corner and the preacher in the other, and Sonny ain't seen the preacher yet. He rushed on in the living room and said, "Mama, look a-here, what a rat. I done whooped him over the head with a ear of corn. I done jobbed him with a hay fork. I done stripped all the hide off of his tail. I done whooped him up and down on the floor of that corn crib. I done stomped him 3 or 4 times. Sonny saw the preacher. And he hugged that rat up to his chest and commenced to fondling it and stroking it and crying. And then the Lord called the poor thing home.
That is the late, great Jerry Clower. I want to take a moment here and reflect on a serious part of United States history. I've got an audio clip here I'm going to play of a woman by the name of Alice Gaston, who was a former slave. And she's telling a little bit of her story. This was recorded in 1941. Surprisingly, it's a great quality audio clip. I'm going to play a portion of that for you now as you reflect on this time in American history.
Time there was slavery time. I can remember when the Yankees come through, and they carried my father away and carried my two sisters and one brother. And they left me, and I can remember when my mistress used to run in the garden from the Yankees and tell us, if they come, don't tell them where they're at. Told them, don't tell nobody where they're at when they come. And they all come and told me, don't get scared now and tell them. What it is, I told them no. We told them no. And when they come and ask for them, I told them I didn't know where they were, and they was in the woods and left us at the house. And when my father left, he carried, with the Yankees and carried two girls and one son, the oldest one, carried them with him and with the Yankees. And I can remember that. And my old missus was named Miss M. And the master was named Mr. Frank Irving. Mr. Frank Irving.
They treat you pretty good?
Yes, sir, they treat me nice.
That was Alice Gaston, former slave. That was not an actor. Talking about her experiences as a slave and waiting for the Yankees. Very important to reflect on a history and remember things that happened in our country. I've heard professors say those who don't remember history are doomed to repeat it. And there's a lot of truth in that. Let's go back to some gospel music. Here's Hovey Lister and the Statesmen, including one of my favorite singers, Jay Kess. I got to meet him a few years before he died. Great man. If anybody had ever asked Elvis Presley who his favorite singer was, I had a couple of them, but Jay Kess was definitely one of his favorite singers. Here's Hovey.
This song talks about the blessings of God, and the way we feel about it, you ought to sing it with a happy feeling. It's called Count Your Many Blessings and See What God Has Done.
Upon my pillows you are tempest tossed. If you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done.
I said, count your blessings, name them one by one.
Count your blessings, see what God had done.
Count your blessings,
name them one by one.
count your many blessings, see what God had done.
If you're heavy laden with a load of care, and the cross seems heavy you are called to bear, count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by.
Yeah, count your many blessings, bring them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings one by one. Count your blessings, see what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done.
Here's Andy Griffith again with The Discovery of America.
Essay, The Discovery of America by Andy Griffith. A long time ago over in the old country, over there in Italy, they lived this sailor, and his name was Christopher Columbus, and he was a navigator. Now, you know what a navigator is. That's the fellow that tells you where to go. He believed that the world was round, and he had this tattoo on his arm to prove it. And it was an anchor, and on the top it said Mother, and on the bottom it said the world is round. And everybody thought he was a nut. They used to sit around in front of the barber shop and say, "Here comes old crazy Chrissy." Says, "Let's get him to tell us how the world's round." Say, "Hell, crazy Chrissy, how's the old round world treating you?" And then they'd giggle, see. And he'd just show him his tattoo to shut him up. Well, it happened he was planning this trip around the world anyhow, because he never had been to camp or anything. And he went over to see the king and queen of Spain to get the money to finance the trip. And their names was Ferdinand and Isabella. Their mamas named them that because they never did like them much anyway. And Isabella, she thought Columbus was crazy too, but she always did like sailors. And so, well, when he got done telling about how the world was round, she says, "Bella, Bella." That means nice, nice. And she says, "Ferdinand, what you think of it?" And Ferdinand, he was looking up the ceiling trying to act like he wasn't listening. She says, "Ferdinand," I say, "what you think of it?" He kept looking up the ceiling. She says, "Ferd," says, "what you think of it?" He says, "I think there's a lot of flies in the castle today. Somebody must have left one of the windows open in the turret." And so she says, "Don't pay no attention to him," Columbus says. "Let's me and you go in the counting room." And they went in there, and she says, "I'll give you the money if you'll let me see your tattoo." And so he showed it to her, see? And she started to touch it, and he says, "Don't touch it where it says Mother." And so she give him the money. She gave him the money, and he bought the ships and sailed across the Atlantic and discovered America, Columbus did. Which only goes to prove, if you got a dream in your heart and a tattoo on your arm, someday they may name a city in Ohio after you. I appreciate it.
Well, you have been listening to the Jason Kirtman Show. This March 10th, it is now 6:56 p.m., getting ready to wrap her up. Had a great show. I've enjoyed being with you. Don't forget, turn your clocks forward. Turn them forward tonight before you go to bed. Also, don't forget, once again, the Rotary Centennial Program is on our website, www.kuprradio.com. or KHIIradio.com. That is some history of Southern New Mexico, done in the style of old-time radio. I've listened to it twice, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. It has been a great show. I'm getting ready to go home, go to bed, get some rest, and go to revival services this week at my church. We'll return. We'll go to our regularly scheduled program now. Thanks for being with us. Come back next week, same time, same station, with Adam next time, and Jason. Have a good evening.